Heavenly Father, we just pray that today will be a day where revelation breaks forth in the minds and the hearts of everyone in this room. Lord, as we speak on your word, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you indwell in us. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to indwell more in us this morning, to overflow, Lord, to take control. And Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us in this room will allow you to do so this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay, well this morning, if you missed last week, and happy Mother's Day last week to you mothers that wagged church and went out to lunch and got spoiled. That's good. I'm glad that you did get spoiled, but I'm sad that you missed church. But anyway, I've got your names. But before I do, have we got any roof carpenters in the house? We usually do have a couple of roof carpenters. There, we've got one over there. All right, I want to tell you a story about a roof. These guys are tough, eh? These guys are tough. I want to tell you a story. A roof carpenter, Patrick Lawler, thought he had a toothache. For almost a week, he tried painkillers and ice packs to reduce the swelling. Well, nothing he did actually brought relief, and he finally went to the dentist where his wife works. And only after the dentist took an x-ray did Patrick learn the true source of his toothache. He had a 4-inch nail in his head. Now, when the dentist reported the discovery to Patrick's wife, she thought they were joking, but the x-ray revealed the truth. Sorry for some of you people. I could have shown you the flesh shot. The nail had entered through his mouth, just missing Patrick's eye. The incident occurred 6 days earlier when Patrick was working and a nail gun backfired. Have you ever had that done, Joss? I know you've been to the doctors before with a nail through some other things, but wasn't an eye, thank goodness. Although one of the nails shot into his mouth and embedded itself, Patrick did not realise it. These guys are tough. No pain, no pain. He merely complained of a toothache and blurry vision and even tried ice cream to soothe the pain. As I said, these guys are tough. After the nail was discovered, surgeons at hospital successfully removed it through 4 hours of surgery. Although it was pretty rare injury, the neurosurgeon admitted that this is the second one we've seen in this hospital where the person was injured by a nail gun and didn't actually realise that the nail had been embedded in their skull. If you want to know how that could happen, ask Joss after the thing. Ladies and gentlemen, the wrong diagnosis only leads to a wrong remedy. Say that again. A wrong diagnosis only leads to a wrong remedy. In the spiritual realm, unless we recognize the deadly reality of sin, we will never turn to the only solution, which is found in Jesus Christ. And to help us recognize and remedy the problem of sin in our lives, we who are Christians have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, there are three specific areas of the Holy Spirit's ministry in this regard that we need to take a look at this morning. So in your outlines, if you've got outlines this morning, I want you to use them. If you weren't here last week, I spoke on who is the Holy Spirit. And you'll be able to download it on the net. I'm doing a 4-part series on the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is part two. So number one, the Holy Spirit convicts. Now, I'm sure that you're aware every day in this country, men and women go on trial for various crimes. And many of them are convicted for committing crimes that they have been accused of. And with that conviction generally comes a sentence resulting in jail time, or probation, or restitution of some kind. Now, the vast majority of cases, the conviction is something the criminal desperately wants to avoid at all costs. In the Christian faith, there is a type of conviction that has similarities with the criminal type. But hopefully it's something that we desire and use for our benefit. It is the conviction that comes from us, from the Holy Spirit, when we're doing something that is out of line with the faith that we have professed in Christ. The Holy Spirit who lives within us will expose our sin to us by giving us a warning to cease and desist any ungodly behavior, and will also give us the ability to resist that sin. So when somebody says that they're coming under the conviction, that is Christianese for the Holy Spirit is letting me know I'm going down the wrong path. Picture, please. I love the giggles. I was brought up on Fred Flintstone, and you've heard me talk about the little angel and the little devil on Fred's shoulders before. But I suddenly grabbed a few of these cartoon characters during the week, and I suddenly realized they have nailed it. They have actually nailed the truth about sin. Because on these pictures, you don't see a picture of an angelic angel. And then on the other side, you don't see a picture of a horrible-looking devil, do you? You see themselves. It's a great picture, and they've got it. The Holy Spirit indwells in us, is connected to our spirit, which is the little angel, saying, don't do that. Or, yeah, go ahead and do it. Or on the other side, we've got our flesh, not the devil. We've got our sinful flesh going, yeah, do it, do it, do it. It's incredible, isn't it? There's no picture of a devil. There's a picture of Fred. There's a picture of Homer. There's a picture of Spider-Man, Pluto. I don't know who that guy is. Who? Kron. Krong. Krong. Okay, yeah, whatever he is. He's obviously not a good guy because he's listening to the other. He's listening to the bad side of him. I love being convicted by the Holy Spirit. I love it. It saves me from doing a lot of dumb and ungodly things. It also saves me at times. I mean, just there, a few years ago, we were driving around down south, and I went around a corner. I said to Sally, I said, oh, I really feel the Holy Spirit's telling me to slow down. It was a real spiritual moment, you know. And Sally said, well, you better slow down then. And I slowed down and went around a corner, and there was two big boomer kangaroos right in the middle of the road, which we would have cleaned them up. Little things like that. You've all had those little experiences, haven't you? There's so many times when we don't listen to that little voice. Sometimes it's in the back of our head, that little voice that we choose not to. It's so easy to disregard it. You know, I train myself to bring it to the front. And don't get me wrong, I've stuffed up many times. I've just got sick and tired of stuffing up. That passage that Craig read before was an awesome passage about how God loves us so much that he wants to care for us so much that sometimes we forget that we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us through each and every situation in our life. And a lot of the times we disregard that voice. Romans 8, 12 to 14 says, so dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you keep following it, you will perish. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you turn from it and its evil deeds, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Wow. In the criminal justice system, when a person is convicted, the main goal is to bring them to justice, isn't it? But when we come under the Holy Spirit conviction for the sins that we have committed or thinking of committing, the goal is spiritual freedom. We say that again. When we come under the Holy Spirit's conviction for sins that we have committed or thinking of committing, the goal is spiritual freedom. Amen? Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong in Christ Jesus, for the power of the living, giving, life-giving Spirit has freed you from Christ Jesus, from the power of sin that leads to death." See, rather than understanding the Holy Spirit's conviction as a negative thing, we should come to an understanding that it is the most positive thing that could happen to us. It is the best thing that could happen to us. God wants the very best for us, and this is how He helps us, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit convict? Well, He does it when we're reading the Word of God. How many of us are reading the Word of God at the moment? Don't put your hand up. How many of us are reading the Word of God? He convicts us by speaking into our conscience. Did you know that you have a personal trainer 24/7? A personal trainer. Some people pay thousands of dollars a year for that. You have a personal trainer in you, with you, guiding you 24/7. Only if you will listen to it. That's how much God loves you. He does it by using others who have influence over our lives. If they don't listen, then I'll tell them. And if I find out that you guys aren't listening, it is my job to tell you. That's how he operates. And I know sometimes you guys don't listen to him, you don't listen to me, you don't listen to your spouse, and you get yourself into trouble. Because some of us are just pig-headed. Ooh. I'm only saying that because I was once pig-headed. Not anymore, am I? He works in many ways to give us power to reject sin and to embrace righteousness. And for that conviction to be effective, we have to be open to hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say. In other words, we have to work toward keeping our hearts and minds sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Now, up to this point, I've been talking about the Holy Spirit's convicting those who are already Christians. But let's look at the other way he works. Number two, the Holy Spirit convicts the world. Some Christians have stated that the Holy Spirit cannot work in the lives of an unbeliever. And while in some circumstances that may be true, overall I'll have to say that the Spirit regularly works in the world of an unbeliever. Just as he's doing with Dixie right now. John 16:8-11, he says this, "And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." Now, according to Jesus, the Spirit has come to convict the world. And by the world, he means that those who are not in a relationship with him. Now, there are three specific ways that the Holy Spirit convicts the world that I want to look at briefly. First one is concerning sin. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin because the world does not believe in him. Now, what do you think the greatest sin of the world in this world is? Murder? Do you think it's rape? Do you think it's sex trafficking, child trafficking, or child abuse? Or maybe something else? The fact of the matter is that you might be sitting here today and done none of those things, but be guilty of the greatest sin in the world. You see, the greatest sin of the world is the sin of an unbeliever. It is a sin of rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the greatest sin of this world. Because if you do not believe in Jesus, that is, if you have not trusted Him as Lord, as the Bible tells us, that you are lost if you don't. And that you will spend eternity apart from Him. If you reject Him now, He will reject you at judgment. If you accept Him now, He will accept you from this very moment and for all eternity. The Holy Spirit has come to the world to convict men and women of their sin of unbelief so that they will turn to Jesus and live forever. He convicts the world concerning righteousness. Romans 4:25 said, Jesus handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised from the dead to make us right with God. See, Jesus returned to the Father after His resurrection because of His work here was done. And when He died on the cross, He took my guilt and your guilt by dying in our place. He was handed over for our sins, but He was raised for our justification. Jesus raised from the dead not only to have our sins subtracted, but so that His righteousness could be added. Wow! You see, it's not enough just to have your sins forgiven, that you won't get that will get you into the presence of God. You have to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that comes when you place your trust in Him. See, the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of that fact and to let those outside of Christ know that they have the righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself when they allow Him to become Lord of their life. Another one concerning judgment. Now, this is not talking about the final judgment in this context. No, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning judgment, and then pointed out that this was because the ruler of this world has been judged. And we know from elsewhere in the Bible that the ruler of this world is who? Is Satan. He has been judged. Satan has already been judged, and there is, and so is everyone who refuses to accept Jesus Christ. If you have refused in this room this morning, if you have refused to accept Jesus Christ, you have been judged. And some people say, well, I'm willing to take my chances at the judgment and not worry about accepting Jesus Christ today. But God says that those who reject Christ have already been declared guilty because they stand in their sins and they do not have the righteousness of Christ. See, the judgment handed down against every one of us is G-U-I-L-T-Y, guilty. And if we're to stand before God in filthy rags of our own sin, every single one of us would be separated from Him forever. But in Jesus Christ, the filthy rags are made white as snow. And we stand before God judged innocent because of what Jesus has done for us. The Holy Spirit has come into the world to let men and women know that if they do not accept Jesus Christ as Savior, that the condemnation that has been declared for their sins will be acted upon. and that God's wrath will not be stayed unless you allow Jesus to cleanse them of every stain and make them whole. You see, the Holy Spirit is very active in the world of unbelievers today. And the purpose of this, of his activity to convict them of sin, righteousness and judgment, is so that they will turn from their lives, they'll turn their lives over to Jesus. His, the Holy Spirit's ministry is not one of condemnation, but of freedom. Now the third point is the one we really need to get hold of this morning. And I'm so passionate about this. The Holy Spirit convicts the world through us. The Holy Spirit convicts the world through each and every one of us who profess to be a Christian. Now, a few years ago, I was sick and tired of the speed cars going past our driveway on our road. And some of you know where we live. We've got a bend around here, we've got a bend around there, and it comes down. And cars speeding. It's a 50k zone, and there's a we live in Darlington, and the kids try and cross the road. And to try and cross the road, it's horrible. If cars did the speed limit, it'll be good. So one morning, I grabbed a shirt of a mate of mine who happened to be a police officer, and it was a police shirt. Now I'm saying don't do this. See, this is why I wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit. But I was that angry that I walked out there. I had dark blue pants and I had a police shirt on. And I stood at the end of our driveway, looked down, and I was just looking at cars coming up, and I was pointing at them. I was staring at the driver in his eye going like that. And all of a sudden their brakes just went whoom, and they did about 30 past me. You know, wiping the sweat from their brow. And I thought this was great. I was out there, out there for about an hour. So this is, you know, directing traffic. I was even thinking of going into the bathroom and grabbing Sally's blow dryer. It was almost comical. It's amazing how well it works, but please do not try this at home. It is actually against the law to impersonate a police officer. I've since stopped that, and now the real police stand on the corner and they have a field day. I told you that story because in a way we are called to do something like that in the world we live today. But we have the real power. The power of the Holy Spirit behind the message that we bring. We have the power and the ability to stop people in their spiritual tracks through our witness, through the Word of God, and through the way we live our lives. The Holy Spirit convicts, and the Holy Spirit convicts the world, but He normally does His work through you and me. In other words, as a Christian, you are God's agent to bring the world to Him. The Holy Spirit will empower you. The Holy Spirit will speak through you. The Holy Spirit, He will use you, and you have to be willing and eager in the and a participant in this process. We have to be. Let's look at a good example of the Holy Spirit convicting the world through a human being like us. And for those of you who don't know, today is Pentecost Sunday. And let's look at Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost to a big crowd, and this is what he told them. So let it be clearly known by everyone in Israel that God has made this, Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. That's what he said. Now, Peter is giving words inspired by the Spirit of God to do what? To convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And what happened? We read on. Here is the crowd's reaction. Peter's words convicted them deeply, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And while this is not always the case, here is an example of people responding to the conviction of the Holy Spirit that was delivered by a human agent just like us. Peter told them how to accept Jesus and to solve their sin and their righteousness and judgment issue by saying, "Each one of you must turn from your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, so I've got another hour, and strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this generation that has gone astray." Wow. Now we could go through the New Testament, and in particular the book of Acts, and see the same pattern repeated over and over and over again. Now notice the way he worked. Peter spoke the truth to the people. He lived a great example of a Christian believer. So he already had the respect of the people that he was talking to. Then the people asked, "What shall we do?" It was then Peter was able to direct them to the Lord, not the other way around. Do you understand what I'm saying here? If you do it the other way around, you will sound like you'll be bringing condemnation onto them. And sometimes you might see those people in the mall just yelling out, "If you don't give your life to Jesus, you're going to go to hell and burn." Who wants to hear that? That's a message of condemnation. Notice how Peter worked it in. He told the people about the Messiah, about judgment and righteousness. He didn't condemn them, but he waited. He waited till they asked. I love the story about Bill Hybels. He tells a story about he sailed on a boat for 10 years and he had this guy that he was trying to witness to for 10 years. And then one Sunday he didn't race, and his mate took over the boat, and they were asking this guy, they said, "How come you haven't given your life to the Lord?" He goes, "Oh, I don't know." He goes, "Do you want to?" He goes, "Yeah." After 10 years. This is how God works. The Holy Spirit convicts, but he wants you to help him do that. If you're a Christian today. Amen? Can I have the worship team up, please? So just in conclusion. So we've seen the Spirit convicting in three different ways. And if you'll pay close attention, you'll see that this is a circular pattern that has been going on since almost the beginning of time. And it will continue until Jesus returns. The Spirit convicts Christians when they're going the wrong way and empowers them to live the right way. He then uses those Christians to convict others of their sin so that they will turn to Jesus. And then the Spirit takes those new Christians and begins working in their lives, convicting them of their sin and empowering them to be the witnesses of the world, to the world. Now, my question to you in closing this morning, where are you in this circle? Are you a Christian and being led by the Holy Spirit? Or are you a Christian not yet there? You got your foot in the world and you're going like that, and you're not, every time you listen to that little voice in the back of your head, you think, "Yeah, I should do that," and I don't, and then trouble. It's a journey. And God loves you so much that He's given you the Holy Spirit to direct you. I think everyone here who's a Christian knows what I'm talking about. When we've rejected that little voice in the back of our head. It is so easy, people. It really is. If we focus on what the Holy Spirit, our 24/7 trainer, I like to call him, is doing with us every moment of our life. Life will be so joyful. And we wouldn't have to put up with the, oh no, I've got to face up to that. I've got to make that right. And are you still part of the world and coming to the conviction that you need to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Or are you one of those who are allowing the Spirit to use you as an agent to convict the world? But when I say that, you've got to be walking in the Spirit before you can do that. Wherever you're at, you need someone to pray for you. And I want to do that for every one of you right now. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Just before I pray for you, I just want to keep your eyes closed and heads bowed. If you're struggling in your life right now, maybe different things, and you believe you've heard that little voice in your head directing you to do right things, and you haven't, but you want to draw a line in the sand this morning and start, I just want you to raise your hand. Eyes closed. Just raise your hand slowly. Amen. If you haven't given your life to the Lord and you want to do that this morning, you want to make a new start, just raise your hand. Just have to raise it once and then put it down. If you want to be one of those Christians that are able to walk the gospel, preach the gospel, tell people of Christ, bring people to the Lord. You might have friends like I have in Michael. And the Lord's teaching you patience. But you want to be able to live a life where people can come to you and say, I want what you've got. So I had to come to that point. When I went to an old friend of mine who I once saw, I said, I want what you've got. And she told me, I've got the Holy Spirit. And that changed my whole life. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, this morning, as we close our eyes and we can picture Jesus, we can picture the Father, Father God, Jesus God. We picture you, Holy Spirit, as God. Well, first, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. That not only did you send your Son to die on the cross for us, but Lord, you left us with the Holy Spirit that indwells in us, with our spirit, and that wants to correct us and convict us righteously that you'd love us that much, that you'd do that for us, so that we could live a life full of joy. Lord, forgive us for the times when we haven't listened to your leading. Holy Spirit, when you've told us in your way not to do things and we've gone and done them, forgive us for those. Because the last thing we really want to do, Lord, is to sin against the Holy Spirit. I pray for each and every person in this room today, Lord, that pray for a revelation in their hearts and their minds right now. And Lord, as we do life starting from now, Lord, that you'll give us the strength, that we'll accept the strength, that we'll accept the boldness, that we'll break off, Lord, that break off the fear of man. In our lives, that we may stand strong in this world. I thank you, Lord, for setting us free. Free from the things of this world. Lord, we love you. We want more of you. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. Open our eyes. Fill us afresh. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.